It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In December, Australia became the first country in the world to implement a social media ban for children under 16, requiring major platforms to do extensive age verification.
Now, Republicans in the state legislature have put forward a slate of bills to regulate how teens can interact with social media, with penalties for tech companies that don't comply.
The proposed legislation aims to restrict what shows up in a teen's social media feed, with other bills aimed at tackling how children interact with AI chatbots and requiring better warning labels for explicit content.
In just a bit, we'll hear from a researcher at UW-Eau Claire about what we know about social media and youth mental health. First, we're joined by a sponsor of a bill on social media for young people. Representative David Steffen is a Republican representing the 4th District, which covers the area just north of Green Bay in the State Assembly. Representative Steffen, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
What is the problem that you and your co-sponsors see out there that you're trying to solve with this AB 963?
Yeah. Well, since 2012, which is the year in which the majority of people switched to smartphones and the advent of social media, we have witnessed an unprecedented level of anxiety, self-harm, and depression, especially among girls, but teens in general. And what the source has clearly been identified and really has been unrefuted is social media. Kids are spending on average over 5 hours a day on social media. And that is causing long-term damage socially, mentally, psychologically to our youth. And so we're looking to address it. Last session, I was the lead author on this legislation. And this year, I'm supporting the other legislators as a part of making this happen. And we have a very good shot this year of getting this across the goal line.
One question here is, how do you know if it's a teen user? Some places have gone with age verification, saying, hey, you got to provide ID to prove you're over a certain age. That's not, as I understand your bill, not what's happening here. What are you requiring from social media companies, the big ones, in this legislation?
Yeah, it's a great point. And that was a sticking point last session. So it is now adjusted to what's called age estimation or age assurance. So the companies that offer this service have now added features and the ability to analyze the activity, the keystrokes, the sites, the interaction that's occurring, and very quickly estimate the age within, you know, it has a 95% accuracy of determining the age of the individual that is engaging in the social media. And what that does is it allows individuals to be verified through the electronics, through the software, versus a parent having to add an actual ID or a user using an ID to the platform and thereby creating yet more information that these companies have on us.
Okay, so a teen is on Facebook. Well, I guess that's not that likely. A teen's on TikTok, say, and the platform says, hey, this looks like a teen. Then once that determination is made, what would this bill require them to change for that user?
Yeah, if the system identifies them as likely being a teen, then at that point they are required to provide age identification. And if they don't, well, then the system shuts down on them. So it is pretty clear in terms of the way this will work. But in general, the goal is to, the best way possible, without jeopardizing privacy, providing an opportunity for teens to still have a positive experience, but not one that has doom scrolling, not one that has addictive AI-driven advertising, things of that nature, as well as providing protections against predatory action by pedophiles. So we're trying to put these protections into law because, to be quite frank, parents need help. Schools need help. Grandparents need help with all this. So we're putting these in place. They're reasonable. They're certainly achievable by the industry. And this is a first step. This won't be the last thing we deal with, social media and its negative impacts on children. But it's a major step forward for the kids and parents of Wisconsin.
One general argument against state-level restrictions like this is these are platforms that are nationwide, worldwide, and it's going to be really complicated and, from a business perspective, really difficult if they have to comply with different regulations in every state in the country. What do you say to that concern?
Yeah, that is the primary argument of big tech, And so while they don't want it at the state level, guess what? They don't want it at the federal level either. So they are fighting and have successfully blocked similar legislation at the federal level. I'm not going to wait for my Congress to protect children in Wisconsin or my district. And so by putting these in place in Wisconsin, we're at least ensuring that we're doing what we can here in Wisconsin. Additionally, it puts pressure on our federal legislators to get this done at the federal level. The argument becomes stronger for a single federal policy that overlaps and supersedes Wisconsin, which I would be fine with. But until and if that happens, we still have thousands of kids that are being negatively impacted to a point of self-harm, suicide attempts, anxiety and depression. And so until and if that happens, Wisconsin needs to have something in place.
Representative Steffen, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's David Steffen, Republican State Assembly representative from northeastern Wisconsin. We're talking about a new bill he put forward to create stricter rules on how teens use social media. Now we turn to a researcher for a look at what we know about the effects of social media on adolescent mental health, what it would look like to regulate big tech companies at the state level. Justin Patchen is a professor in the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice at UW-Eau Claire and co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center. Justin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Glad to be back.
A huge topic here, the impact of mental health on adolescents, a big part of the reason for this legislative push, as we just heard. Broad strokes, what do we know from the research?
Well, there's no doubt that anxiety and depression have gotten worse among youth over the last decade or so. I think there is some doubt about the cause of that, and it's probably true that technology contributes. I don't know that it's the sole cause. I think there are other social and family issues going on, but no doubt there are ways that technology can be modified in a way to make it safer for youth online. I don't know if this particular legislation is the solution, but it's certainly worth exploring.
Looking at some of the targets of the legislation, Representative mentioned the addictive features, the infinite scroll, right? As a grown-up, sometimes I wish that would stop. Do you think that's something that would be of benefit to teens, whether it's happening in state law or the platforms do it voluntarily?
Well, you're not wrong. I mean, I think we all could benefit from that. And if you've spent any time on some of these platforms, you can see efforts that they're taking to even reduce that. I know if I spend a lot of time on TikTok, let's say, eventually some nice lady pops up and says, maybe you should take a break because it's been, you know, an hour that you've been scrolling. So I think there are measures being taken. The question is what measures are effective. I'm a researcher, so I would like to, you know, work with these companies to identify the strategies that work. Of course, these companies want more eyeballs on their content or the content created by others. So it's sort of a, you know, a double-edged sword in terms of balancing how much time people are spending on the platform and not creating issues with their mental health.
For that research, I know a big concern is how much do social media companies open the back end for researchers to, you know, get in and look at what they're doing? TikTok, I think, notably doesn't share a lot of information with researchers. What kind of access would researchers like you need to really make informed judgments about how these things function?
Well, of course, as a researcher, I'd love as much access as possible. TikTok does provide some opportunities. They provide an API that allows some researchers to access some data. We did a project for them a few years ago looking at harassment in comments on TikTok. And so I think they do cooperate, and all the companies do cooperate with some researchers, but it needs to be, there needs to be more of that, of course, and it needs to be more transparent. Because, you know, we're all in the same boat. We want, just like the representative said, we want everybody to have positive experiences online. And I think these companies want to encourage that as well.
If legislators at the state or federal level came to you and said, hey, you've been working on this stuff for years, Justin, what kind of law changes could really benefit teens based on what we know through these years of research?
Well, I think we need, I'm not sure, there's a lot of little things, and the laws that would help solve these problems would provide more resources for communities, specifically parents, teachers, and teens themselves, to get educated about the tools on these apps to make their experiences safer. Because many of these platforms do have tools to block, report, to limit the negative experiences, but a lot of parents simply don't know about them. So I think education is more important than sort of a law, but we certainly need to hold these companies accountable if they are engaged in predatory practices that target our kids. And so identifying that through research and curtailing that is certainly a solution we're all looking for.
I think I heard from Representative Stephan and some of his colleagues supporting this, a sense of frustration that parents have to do a lot. This is overwhelming. This is a constantly changing social media landscape. New platforms come on. Platforms change what they do. Do we put too much responsibility on the parents and not enough on the platforms to protect teens from the negative impacts of some social media use?
No, there's no doubt it's hard to be a parent these days. I've got a 16-year-old at home, and so I'm living and breathing these issues to see nothing of the research that I've done, you know, among thousands and thousands of teens across the U.S. It's a complicated issue. Just one quick point related to this. My research partner and I did a study this year, actually last year, early 2025, and surveyed 3,500 youth across the U.S. And about 32% of those said using these chatbots and these apps actually improved their mental health and improved their real life relationships, whereas only about 5 to 8% said they worsened. And so I think there's a lot more going on here in terms of the potential positives for these tools. And we can't lose sight of that.
Very briefly, Justin, AI is coming on board, lots of changes on the horizon. What are you watching for next?
Well, I'm continuing to track the way that young people are using technology via AI or whatever the next great thing is to harm each other. But I also, because, you know, my main focus is cyberbullying,
right,
and some of the social networking problems. But I also am very optimistic about the ways in which these tools, particularly maybe even AI, can be used to mitigate some of these problems. And the age verification that the representative was talking about is one clear example of that.
Justin, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Justin Patchen, professor in the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice at UW-Eau Claire, co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center. We also heard from Republican Assembly Representative David Stephan, been talking about new efforts in the Wisconsin legislature to impose stricter regulations on how minors can interact with social media.